Going to have a good blessed day, and some are in Ohio, and it's still a great blessing to be able to gather with you all here this morning. To gather with the saints is maybe one of the greatest privileges that we have here in this world, to be able to just gather together and encourage one another and to build each other up. It is a true blessing to be able to just lay aside everything that we went through last week and just have a day of rest. All the physical labors and stresses that we've gone through, we can lay them aside and we can truly just have a day of rest. And I think that's a blessing for us as saints that we can have that. So this morning we want to look into the Word to see if we can find peace and rest in God's Word and see what that truly means. I'm not sure what you have all gone through over this last week. I'm not sure what you've all faced, but I'm sure that you're excited too for the day of rest that we have here. I'm not sure if it was a busy week or a stressful week or whatever physical things you went through, I'm not sure, but I believe you would testify too that you're glad for the day of rest that we have. The day that we can, it's a day that we can lay off all the physical things. We can put our phones aside and turn it on airplane mode and come back to it at the end of the day and not be worried about 50 to 60 notifications that you missed and don't know what to do with now. And I'm not sure if that describes all of you, but I'm sure it describes some of you. And it describes me. Sunday is the only day when I can turn off my phone, put it away, and then come back to the end of it and maybe miss one or two. I don't have to be burdened about trying to catch up with all that. So it's a blessing. I think the rest that Jesus wants us to have, though, today is maybe a little bit different than just the physical rest that we talk about. I think Jesus wants us to have a day of rest that we can focus on Him. And we can focus on the true peace and rest. And Henry mentioned it a little bit, and I want to talk about it more today. But the true peace and rest that Jesus offers to us. And I think that's going to be a blessing as we consider that day of rest and what it was meant for and what was really intended by it. Some people don't have a day of rest. I have a day of rest. We all have a day of rest. Some people in the world, they just work 24/7. They work 7 days a week. I remember working with a Master Nardi last year, or a few years ago, and he asked me if I could come out on a Sunday to quote something for him, and I said, "Don't you take Sunday as a day of rest?" And then he says, "I work 7 days a week my whole life. I don't know anything else." And I don't know how he does it. And I don't know how he stays sane. But one thing I know for sure, his focus is not on God. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think many of you in this room can testify of that rest that Jesus speaks of. It's not just a rest for our physical body that Jesus is offering, but it's a rest for our soul when our hearts turn towards Him. And that word hearts, that word heart is mind. When our mind is turned towards Him, that word heart, it also means the inner man. When the inner man is turned towards Him, He offers us peace and rest. One thing I want to talk about rest is that rest is not idleness. He didn't give us a day of rest so that we could rest from our physical bodies only, or He didn't give us a day of rest so that we could be idle for a day. That's not what He gave us a day of rest for. Yeah, He gave us physical rest, but the purpose was to engage our mind into another type of work. To work the duty that Christians have to do and should be doing. And maybe we could call it more of a change than a rest. Today we want to learn the Word. Our mind will be focused on learning God's Word. We want to be strengthened in our faith. We want to be encouraged by each other. We want to bless each other. We want to do the work of that a Christian ought to do. We should do it always. But today we really want to focus on that. There's brethren here that I was going to say would be teaching, but they're obviously not teaching. There's hosts today that are going to be having people over, and that's a type of work that we're doing that's different than we did the last 6 days. And it's a work in the Christian realm. It's a work in God's kingdom. Because it's not good for man to be idle-minded, but it's good for man to change the type of work that we engage ourselves in. I read a quote from Oswald Chambers, and he wrote something about the mind and about how the brain operates, and he said, "The brain does not need rest. It only needs change of work. The intellect works with the greatest intensity when it works continuously." And I thought that was interesting. Our brain and our mind is capable of far more than what we think, only it needs change. It's good for us to take a break and do something different for once, and then come back to it. So I believe we are created fearfully and wonderfully, and God knows exactly how we are created, and He knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly what kind of laws to put in place or what to put in place for His people so that they would prosper and be blessed. And so, yes, we have rest for the physical busyness that we all have day to day. We have that. We can put that aside, but it was never intended for idleness. It was intended for God's people to remember and meditate God the Creator. To remember and meditate upon God the Creator. So that's what we want to do. We want to look back on another week. The week that has passed. We want to look back and we want to remember our God. It was the Lord who faithfully brought us through. And it was the Lord who will faithfully, it is the Lord who will faithfully bring us through again through another week. And so no matter what we faced, no matter what we're going to face, the Lord is faithful. And so let's be encouraged to be faithful to Him also and to not be slack in the work that He has called us to do for Him. So I'd like to just start with a word of prayer and then we'll go into the message. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. Lord, we want to just take this time to consider Your Word more deeply. We want to worship You, Lord, in our hearts and our minds. We want to be renewed in the inner man, strengthened for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, the things that we've all faced in the past week, we want to thank You for it, and we want to bless You, and we want to consider today more about Your creation, more about Your Son, Jesus Christ, more about the faith that we profess to have in You. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen each one. Lord, we all come with needs. We all come with hurts. We all come with desires. I pray that You would fill the desires of our heart here this morning. Truly, Lord, that we could turn our heart towards You and we could fall down to worship You. We thank You for everything You've done for us. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. May You help us to remain faithful and true servants for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message today, I know I mentioned it a little bit. Henry mentioned about rest, and I wanted to actually look at that more specifically. Should Christians keep the Sabbath? So that's the question we're going to ask today, and you maybe have the answer already in your mind, and that's good that if you have the answer, but it's been a blessing for me to study. Should Christians keep the Sabbath? And I already had the answer too, but to learn it more thoroughly, to study it more thoroughly and deeply has been a real blessing, and I hope that can be a blessing to you too. And so before we go into that, the answer of that question, should Christians keep the Sabbath, we have to then ask, what is the Sabbath? Who wants to answer that for me? What is the Sabbath? Is today the Sabbath? Somebody says no. No, what is the Sabbath?
Friday at
6 p.m. starts the Sabbath, yes. Yep. So it's the seventh day, and according to Jewish reckoning, that starts Friday evening, is the beginning of Sabbath, and it goes until Saturday evening. So, should Christians keep the Sabbath? Well, if that's the case, then I want to say we're doing it wrong already, because we're gathered here today on the first day of the week. The Sabbath was yesterday, and so the answer would be quickly, no, I guess not, or I hope not anyways, because if we should keep the Sabbath, then we're doing it wrong, then we're in trouble. Israel was commanded to keep the Sabbath. They were commanded to keep the seventh day holy, and God made a very serious command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Israel is still keeping the Sabbath. And they've made their own laws so that they can fight in the Sabbath. That's why probably yesterday they were fighting still. But according to God's word, they were not allowed to do that. And so Israel was kept the Sabbath, and they're still keeping the Sabbath. But should Christians keep the Sabbath? Again, I want to ask, what is Sabbath keeping? For one, it was commanded, it was one of the Ten Commandments. It was the third of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And out of Exodus 35, verse 1, we can read there, and it says there, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." Now, I hope by now you will say we shouldn't keep the Sabbath, because if we should, then we should be put to death according to the law. But you can see God was very serious about this law. Anyone who did work on the Sabbath was to be put to death. And so we can conclude then that if Christians are still commanded to keep the Sabbath, then the whole of the law has to apply, including the part that says whoever works on Sabbath shall be put to death. I hope that none of us will want to go there, and yet we still want to consider it more deeply. Want to see then, okay, well, what was not allowed on a Sabbath? Any type of work, any business transactions would be prohibited. Any transactions happen in church today? Sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes we bring drills in and swap them. Sometimes a brother brings a check in that he owes another brother. It happens to me because of business transactions on Monday to Saturday. Sometimes we swap pies. I don't know. What do you ladies do to swap? Do you do any business transactions? Sometimes there's health products that get swapped. It was not prohibited on a Sabbath. Driving or riding cars or other vehicles was prohibited because that would light a fire in the engine, and you're not allowed to make a fire. Shopping was prohibited. So don't go to A&W after church or Timmy's. I'm guilty of that sometimes. After church, if you don't get an invite and you don't want to go home and make food and work, go to A&W and make others work. Well, that was prohibited too. Turning on or off anything that uses electricity, including lights, microphones, computers, air conditioners, alarm clocks, ceiling fans, prohibited according to the Sabbath law. Cooking or baking or lighting a fire in any other way. I would say, hosts, beware. If we're bound to keep the Sabbath, you're not baking today or cooking, heating anything up. Doing dishes, These are all laws that were part of work. I want to ask the question then, who's guilty this morning? Some of you don't raise your hands, and maybe you think that you're not guilty, but just remember, yesterday was Sabbath. Did you do it yesterday? That was Sabbath. You know, for some funny reason, within mankind, there's this desire to want to feel righteous in our own works. We think that we're good people. We think that I'm upright in all my ways. I'm a good person. I'm godly. I follow the Ten Commandments. Even though I just proved to us all that if Sabbath keeping is required, then we're all Sabbath breakers. And we're guilty of the whole law. And we all deserve to be put to death based on that one law. But we have that natural inkling to want to be righteous in and of ourselves. And if we are required to keep the Sabbath, then we are required to keep the whole law. And if we miss in one spot, then we are debtors to the entire law. We all like to think that we're good and righteous people, but the law reveals to us very quickly that we're guilty before God and that we all deserve death. Paul says that was the whole purpose of the law. For one, it revealed sin in us, and then it pointed to Christ. And if the law is applied properly, it can still be a blessing. Because the law reveals sin in us, and once we're convinced of our sin, then it points us to Christ. Now, there were two main reasons. These were the two main reasons even for Sabbath keeping, the law of Sabbath keeping. Because it did reveal sin in us, because almost nobody could keep it. Also, it was a shadow that pointed unto Christ. And we're going to look at that yet. Why else did it get instituted as a law? Exodus 20, verse 8, it says there, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." Why? "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." It was supposed to be a day when people remembered God the Creator and the work that He did in creating the world. So one, the law revealed sin, and two, the law pointed to Christ, and it pointed to the Creator. Jesus was the Creator, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was the Creator. So stop work and consider the Creator. Consider Jesus. Now put yourself in their shoes, in the Israelites' shoes, the ones who were given this commandment. Here's a law that is almost impossible to keep. And many of them broke it. Many of the priests broke it. And yet, Jesus says they were blameless. But here's a law that was almost impossible to keep. And yet, that same law was designed to point people to the Creator, Jesus Christ. And so you have guilty people standing in awe of a mighty Creator, merciful Creator. Guilty people, as long as they would recognize their own guilt, will have the right response when they consider God. But if they're righteous in keeping the Sabbath, then they'll miss the whole point. They're righteous before God. They're not going to look to the Creator in humility and ask for forgiveness. But here, the law was designed to have guilty people standing in awe of a mighty Creator. And what else should it do but to cause a man to humble himself before God? and ask God, who am I? Like David did. Who am I that thou art mindful of me, Lord? Who am I? The Sabbath day was to be a reminder to the people that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Every time they took a rest on the Sabbath, they were to consider God's creation account. And that's reasonable, right? For a law that God would just ask them to take one day aside and just remember what God did for them. I believe that's a reasonable request, a reasonable desire from God to have for mankind. That the crown of creation would consider the vast universe that God created and would worship Him because of it. I believe that's very reasonable. And that's what happens when we take a day off and we consider what God has done. The proper response says, worship to God. And I had to think about this song, O Lord My God, and I wanted to read it here to you. 771 in the old book, it says, here's a man who considered God's creation and then turned his heart towards God. This is God's response. This is God's desire for His people when He says, remember what I have done for you. This is God's desire. O Lord My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. There's a good response. That should be the response every time. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, how great Thou art. And when I think, you see, it points to Christ now. Okay? When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. It's true, though, brothers and sisters. It's true. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. You see, the Sabbath had a very good reason that people would remember God and worship Him. And a beautiful testimony from the songwriter. That's exactly what it did to him. That's exactly what it should do to us. We take a day, we consider God. Truly consider the vast universe, everything He's created. We ask, who am I, Lord? Who am I? To me, it seems there's a pattern in my own life. I do this from time to time. It's normally on a Sunday evening after a busy week. On the Sunday evening, the garbage man always comes Monday, so Sunday evening, when everybody's to sleep, things have been wound down. I don't want to wake up early in the morning to bring out garbage. So I do it Sunday evening. Sometimes you have a beautiful clear sky. You see the stars. In Comber anyway, you can see it beautifully. You see the moon, the stars. It just turns my heart to worship my Father. And I just ask, God, who am I? Sometimes I just park it right beside the cam shed and I just fall on my knees. I say, God, who am I that thou art mindful of me? And then I answer myself and I say, I am but dust. And then I hear God say, you are the crown of my creation. And I say, I'm but dust. And then I remember Jesus, God gave His Son to die for me. So obviously there must be worth in us. Else He wouldn't do that. When I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to, I scarce can take it in. But I know it's true. I know it's true. And then sings my soul, how great thou art. What a beautiful way for God to turn the hearts of his people to him. Just give him a day of rest and tell him to consider all the mighty things that God has done. I'm not sure if you ever do that. Maybe some of you do. Just take some time aside and just away from the busyness of life and just consider God for a bit. Be still and know that I am God, the psalmist says. But God gave the Sabbath to us, or to the people of Israel, that they would meditate upon him and worship him. And I believe God wants that today still too. I believe it's more that we would worship him every day. But God gave the Sabbath for a specific reason, and that was the reason that he wanted people to turn their hearts to him. I want to look at what Jesus said. Jesus mentioned the Sabbath also. And you can turn with me to Mark 2. Mark 2, verses 23. We'll just read from there. It says there, and it came to pass that Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day do that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread which was not lawful to eat but for the priest, and he gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. A few things we can draw out of here. Two, the Sabbath was made for man, and Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He can do with it what he wants. But here were the righteous, you know, the righteous Pharisees. They would never do that kind of a wicked deed. Pick corn on a Saturday. They would never do that kind of a wicked thing. But Jesus made it clear. Sabbath day was made for man, and it was for the benefit of man. And God gave us a day of rest because he knew it was good for us. He didn't make man for Sabbath, so that Sabbath could keep us in bondage. No, he made Sabbath for man so that it could be a blessing to us. It could benefit us. Just as every law of God is for the benefit of man, so too a day of rest is for the benefit of man. And if only we could get that into our heads as human beings, that the laws that God has put in place for his people, they are for the benefit of his people. How many of us as fathers or mothers put rules in place for our children knowing that it will do them harm? None of us do. But we put rules in place for our children, we put laws and order in our home because we know what's best for them. Even if they don't believe it, it's still best for them. Even if they don't understand it, we're still going to put it in place because we know what's best for them. And how much more doesn't God do the same for us? A day of rest is good for us. I looked up even some secular reasoning on what the benefits are for a day of rest. Here's a few. So, the benefits for a day of rest are, first of all, they heal your body. It heals your body. It promotes mental health. It boosts creativity. It increases productivity. It promotes well-being, it reduces stress, it improves the mood, and it strengthens relationships. This is a handful. You ask, well, how does it strengthen relationships? How can a day of rest strengthen relationships? I just thought about, you ever notice how when you're tired, you're a little bit grumpy? Or is that just me? That's not good for relationships. You got to be in a good mood. He that hath many friends must show himself friendly, not grumpy, right? So I believe it's true. A day of rest can strengthen relationships. So yeah, Jesus did mention the Sabbath, and it was in opposition to the Pharisees' view on Sabbath. First of all, he is the Lord of Sabbath, and second of all, Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing for you, not a bondage for you. It's supposed to be a blessing for God's people. Now the Pharisees, they kept the Sabbath in complete hypocrisy. I want to continue this account, but I want to continue it from Luke. So if you turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 5. We just read out of Mark 2, verse 23. It's the same account, but Luke spake about it. Luke chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And looking round about them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." Now that's an interesting account there. We have a very critical audience there, don't we? We have Jesus performing a miracle right before their eyes, and they're filled with madness. How dare you do such a wicked thing on a Sabbath? And Jesus asked a question there. Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And then he looked at the crowd. It says he looked at them. Because I think there is something there that we want to study here a little bit. I'm not sure who of you have heard of the Maccabees, the Maccabean Revolt. It was a group of Jewish people in the year 175 who were almost wiped out, but they revolted against their enemies. And one way they did it is that when the enemies wanted to destroy Jewish people, they would have a very simple tactic. We'll attack on Sabbath. Because they wouldn't fight on Sabbath. And therefore they just were able to massacre the Jewish people. Well, they made a law that said, we can fight on Sabbath to save life. A little bit of an article here, I was studying it. It says here, in the days of the Maccabean revolt, nearly 200 years earlier, the Jews had dealt with the question of whether it was permissible for a Jewish soldier to fight on the Sabbath. The enemies of the Jews had hit on one simple strategy. They would wait until Sabbath, and then they would launch their attack, and the Jews would not defend themselves because it was Sabbath. As a result of some terrible massacres, the rabbis declared that it was permissible for soldiers to fight to protect themselves and to save lives on the Sabbath. Now you have Jesus here asking that same question based on their own addition to the Sabbath law. Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? And Jesus said, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful to do good or evil, to save life or to destroy it? And then he looks. Everybody knew what he was talking about. Everybody knew it. I can only imagine the tension that was in that room. I bet you could hear a pin drop. it is lawful to do good. But they had a very critical congregation. And I want to mention here today that I think criticalness is one of the most dangerous things to godliness. It's like poison to God's people. There was a story that I read about an old man who was very well known for his critical nature, and he went out hunting with his friend, and his friend brought his new hunting dog. And the friend asked the old man, "What do you think of my new hunting dog?" And he said to him, "Doesn't look like much of a dog to me." Just then there were ducks flying over a lake, and they shot at the ducks, and they got one. And one of the ducks just fell right into the lake. And this dog just goes. And he jumps right on top of the water. He doesn't swim. He just literally runs across the water. His feet's just skipping across the water, like 100 feet onto the lake. He picks up the duck, turns around, and he runs on top of the water again. And within a minute or two, he drops the duck at his owner's side there. And he says, "What do you think of my dog now?" And the guy says, "Dumb dog, doesn't even know how to swim." Critical people will always find something to criticize. And even if they had the opportunity, they will criticize the Son of God. And I believe, we laugh at that, but I believe if the Pharisees said that dogs are not allowed to swim on Sabbath, and they had seen that scene happen, they would probably have killed the dog. He's not allowed to do that. The character and the mindset that the Pharisees had was exactly like that. They seen Jesus do a miracle right in front of them, and they were figuring out, how can I kill this man? Criticalness is dangerous. And I look across the crowd here, and I don't say that any of you are that. But maybe sometimes we have the tendency that we get a little bit critical. Let's just be careful that we don't take that too far. It can be very dangerous. The Pharisees were hypocritical about the Sabbath day. They were hypocritical about many things. Jesus called them out on that. And they actually made quite a few extra biblical Sabbath rules. And I think I shared this before, and I don't know who was all here, but I want to share it again because it just kind of flows with the message. But Pharisees made up their own Sabbath laws. I will call them extra biblical Sabbath laws. So they taught that you were not allowed to look in a mirror on a Sabbath day because you might be tempted to pluck out a gray hair, and that's reaping. Because you're not allowed to reap. It's kind of like the disciples, they picked an ear of corn just to eat, and they count that as harvesting. Like, which one of us would ever call that harvesting? We picked out a shovelshout or a bean, and we ate it on a Sunday, on a Saturday. But it's the same idea. They said you're not allowed to look on the mirror because you might end up plucking out a gray hair, and that would be reaping. A donkey could be led out of the stable on the Sabbath, but the harness and a saddle had to be placed on him the day before. You can see how it was just a bondage, right? If the lights were on when the Sabbath came, Sabbath began at sundown, as Brother Henry shared, you could not blow them out. If they had not been lit in time, then you could not light them. It was not permitted to wear false teeth on Sabbath. I don't want to make a joke, okay, but it says it here. I looked up these items on what Sabbath additions were. It says it was not permitted to wear false teeth on Sabbath, and then it says in brackets, that must have been a hit in the synagogue services. It's kind of funny, right? But don't want to be a jokester behind the pulpit either. It was fine to spit on a rock on the Sabbath, but you could not spit on the ground because that made mud, and mud was mortar, and that was work. This was not biblical Sabbath laws. This was extra biblical. If a woman got mud on her dress, she was to wait until it had dried. Then she was permitted to crumple the dress in her hands one time and crush it and shake it out one time. If that didn't do the trick, she had to wear it. You can tell why Jesus was so upset with them of how they viewed the Sabbath, right? It was a bondage to them. That was not God's intention. That was not God's intention for for the people of God to keep the Sabbath. Remember, God's intention was that the hearts of the people would turn to God in humble adoration, and instead it turns to themselves and critical ideas of each other, and it created tension and strife. Never God's intention. I'll say it plainly, God hated the way they did Sabbath keeping. And if you want to see how much God hated it, I'm not going to read it, but just read Malachi 2, verse 3. And it talks about festivals there too. But God hated the way they kept Sabbath and the way they did their holy festivals. Malachi 2, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. Read it when you get home. Because this was a time when people were supposed to turn their hearts to God, and instead they turned their hearts to themselves and how holy they were and how picky they could keep the Sabbath. And it turned them, when they should have been humbled before God, they're prideful about themselves, and they criticized everyone else who didn't keep the Sabbath, every dot and T, the way they apparently did. And they didn't, and Jesus calls them out for it. In Matthew 23, 4, he says, "They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves won't touch them with one of their fingers." There was hypocrisy. So should Christians keep the Sabbath? I know I've asked that 3 times. I'll probably ask it one more time yet. Should Christians keep the Sabbath? If we come to the conclusion that we should keep the Sabbath, then we are still under the law, we are still in the bondage to the law, and we've missed Jesus Christ. And Paul warned the Galatians not to go there. In Galatians 4, verse 9, it says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire to be in bondage again? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed labor upon you in vain." And earlier in the chapter, he says, "Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" They had the truth, but they're going back to the Mosaic law. And remember that the Sabbath was only ever given to Israel as a covenant between God and Israel. The Mosaic law was only ever given to Israel. The church is not under the Mosaic law, the old covenant. It is under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And that covenant offers a whole different realm of rest than the old one did. Eternal rest in Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You see, the yoke of the Mosaic law was very difficult. The burden was very heavy. There was no rest in keeping the law. There was no mercy if you failed. But in Jesus, there's rest, peace, and mercy. I want to bring this to a conclusion here. If you turn with me to Leviticus 23, verse 10, I just want to go over one section yet of how it was a shadow. The Old Testament was a shadow of better things to come. Leviticus 23, verses 10. Here it says, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of the harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it on the morrow after the Sabbath. This was a shadow of better things to come. Jesus Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. When Jesus rose from the dead on that resurrection day, the fulfillment of this was done. Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. And he rose the day after Sabbath, the morrow after the Sabbath. Reading on, it says, And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Jesus was the lamb without blemish to take away the sins of the world. We see a shadow of better things to come. Jesus is the fullness. How dare we worship the shadow? And we're reading on. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the resurrection, after the Sabbath, that's the resurrection day, count unto you from the resurrection day, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. 50 days after his resurrection was Pentecost. Again, the morrow after the Sabbath. The birth of the church was the new offering. This has been completed. Don't think Jesus said that I came to abolish law but to fulfill it. This has been completed. No need to go back to that. To go back to that is to say that the Lord never came. To go back to worshiping keeping a Sabbath holy is to say that we've missed Jesus Christ, who is the final rest. Read Colossians 2:16 with me. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. What a beautiful picture. They were the shadow of the body. The body is Christ. Christ is come. Wherefore will we worship the Sabbath or the shadow? When we have Jesus, we have the fullness of the rest that was promised. There's no need to go back to the shadow. We have the body. We have Christ. And we can see that the law was a schoolmaster to point us unto Christ. Even that Sabbath law, right? It pointed us unto Christ. Even Sabbath was intended to point to Christ. It was a shadow. I want you to remember this. Jesus Christ rose from the dead after a high Sabbath. It was like a very special Sabbath. There would have been all the Jewish people would have been gathered together on that Sabbath. And if they would have properly understood the Sabbath, they would have all been humbled before God, perhaps observing creation, perhaps asking themselves, Who am I? I'm guilty before you. If they would have done this properly, right? They would not have missed Christ. when he rose again the next day. They would not have missed him. But because they had completely misinterpreted the Sabbath, many were prideful in their own righteous deeds because how good they could keep the Sabbath. And it was a shadow of Christ, and they missed Christ completely. It was at the break of dawn, the very first day after the last Sabbath, Jesus raises from the dead. Many, many more should have received him and understood the picture, but they didn't. And then 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and filled men and women. And many of the teachings of the early church actually taught that this was the eighth day. Spiritually, this was the eighth day. I thought that was interesting that they would consider that the eighth day because it was a new day. It was a day when the church began. It was a day when God's kingdom was here on earth. It was, we understand why they might have called it the eighth day. The day when Christians began to worship God every day. The day that is far greater than one day of rest from physical labors. It's the day that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we have entered into eternal rest with Jesus Christ. Rest from our burden of sin. Rest from the fear of God's wrath because we know we are children of God. Rest from unbelief. Rest from, you name it, peace in our hearts. There's eternal rest that we've gained when we enter into the rest that Jesus Christ offers. Those who are resting in the Lord Jesus are those who have found the true meaning of Sabbath keeping. The eighth day was the day when Christ rose from the dead. And I thought I'd just give you one picture yet. I won't read the scripture. But in the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to circumcise their babies on the eighth, their male babies on the eighth day. And this was, again, a foreshadow of a time that would come when the Holy Spirit would come down, we can say, on the eighth day and circumcise the men and women, their fleshly hearts, and would give them a new heart. He would cut off the carnality of the heart, and we would put a soft heart in them. Jesus rose the day after Sabbath. The Holy Ghost came down the day after Sabbath. The church began the day after Sabbath. I think it's clear that the sign of the Sabbath has been fulfilled. To burden ourselves with keeping Sabbath would be to deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ have entered into rest through him. Just ask one more time, should Christians keep the Sabbath? God bless you all.